Welcome back to Promoted. I'm your host, Felicity Fury, and I'm very excited today to have our special guest, Kate Thomas, on the show. Thank you so much for being here, Kate. You are a quality insurance engineer for 4D Medical. I'm going to get into all of that very shortly. Firstly, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I was very excited that you reached out. And
I did. Could you try again? Awesome. Well, I reckon we should start with your current role. The biomedical and medical engineering industry in Australia is quite an interesting one. And I think what I've been inspired about by your career is, Siri is talking to me, go away, Siri. What I've been inspired about by your career is that you've been able to navigate those challenges that one might face in the industry. And I've heard a lot of people say things like, oh, it's just, you know, too tricky to get a role in this space. It's quite hard. So how did you go about navigating that, or kind of what's been your mindset throughout your career? And I'm going totally off script because that was not the first question I'm going to ask you. I'm putting you on the spot. What's been your mindset around being in this industry?
Well, I think you had to be pretty pragmatic and pretty flexible from the get-go, which is very difficult to do. Pragmatism is very easy when you're experienced and you know what to expect. So I think it's a hard ask of people who are pretty fresh out of uni or fresh into industry. I think a big part of why I've been able to navigate this industry is I've maintained a network, which to a lot of people is, you know, the devil's word to say networking. But that is genuinely something that has benefited me immensely. And I think I more leaned on it as an opportunity to just meet like-minded people and ask a lot of questions. Not always, oh, hey, I want a job or things like that. And if you view networking that way, I think you won't actually necessarily attract what you want out of that experience. But I also diversified my offering. I think that is probably a reason why I have been able to navigate the last 5.5, 6 years the way I have, especially through COVID.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think like there's a pretty standard trajectory that people expect when you're at uni or even before you go to uni. And I think just knowing that it's not going to be that before you get in is very important. And like you said, we're extremely, we're very fortunate in Australia to have an industry, but we have a very small, very tight-knit industry compared to a lot of other regions. And you have to be prepared to accept a role that maybe isn't what you thought you would be doing, which is very much my experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like what you said about diversifying your offering. Tell me more about that. Were you thinking, okay, I've got to, you know, develop skills in different areas, demonstrate different skill sets? Yeah. What does that mean to you?
All of the above. I think I learned that early on because I've always worked with startups or scale-up size companies. And so I'm very used to meaning to be able to offer a range of skill sets to a business. So you sort of need to be able to do your own document control, but at the same time, you need to be able to write a verification protocol and run one. And then you need to be able to research an FDA database and do a risk evaluation. And in a large company, there would be specific teams who did each one of those things. And so I think that was a very positive experience, whilst extremely challenging, was a very positive experience in also just knowing that you can do those things all at the same time. And it's a bit of a jack of all trades, master of none, you know, situation. You sort of have to accept you're not going to be an SME if you pursue that. But for me, I was quite comfortable with that. And I think I also am just interested, like I'm genuinely interested in our sector, which means when I hear about an area of practice like usability engineering, I was like, what is that? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to learn things about it. And I wanted to read blog posts and look at YouTube and read about what the regulations are in different places, because that genuinely intrigued me. And I think genuine interest is not everybody has that, and that's entirely reasonable. Not work doesn't always have to be your passion. But I'm quite lucky that it is mine, one of mine. And I think a big thing was, about a year and a half into my full-time job, I think it was a year and a half, 2 years, was when COVID hit. And so the very cool custom implant project that I was working on was on pause. And while that was devastating from a, technical skill set growth perspective, it was positive in that it showed me to be flexible. And I ended up working on a PPE project. So I learned about injection molding and all sorts of things that I, desiccant drying, all sorts of stuff. And then I ended up in operations and quality. So it's just, it all sort of happened quite naturally.
It sounds like the path has kind of unfolded before you as new situations have arisen. I really like your adaptability, and something that I also really admire about you is your positive attitude and that you're such a yes to things. I remember calling you about one of our programs and you're like, I've got this wedding and this, but like, yes, I can make it work. I'll find a way. And you were trying to figure it out. Even you've recently, in the last 12 months, moved to Melbourne. So moved from your home in Queensland down to Melbourne. And that's been a big change. And you were a yes for the opportunity. Would that be right?
Yes, I think the irony. It's funny that you say that, because I'm very flattered. But I've never necessarily thought of myself as a yes person. I'm actually incredibly, I'd call myself cautiously optimistic, most of the time. I am a bit of a realist, so I do sort of temper my enthusiasm sometimes to my detriment, but other times it's for safety. But I do think that even being able to just consider that that could be an option is an attribute that I'm proud to have. Yes. And I'm also extremely fortunate that I'm surrounded by people who hear these crazy ideas and they go, hell yeah, you should go for it. I think I'm also very fortunate that I've got a lot of people who see that and they go, why not? What's the worst that can happen? And I think that's a really, I'm very fortunate to have been able to foster a network of people who can do that for me.
Yeah, it makes a massive difference having that supportive network around you. And has that been something that you've used to evaluate if opportunities would be right for you as well, that you've used it as a bit of a sounding board, or are there other strategies you've used to know if it is the right step or the right next step in your career?
I had so many conversations every time I changed a job, or not even just changed a job, but even just how I evaluate things that happen at work and whether or not I should or shouldn't say something. I had so many conversations. I'm one of those people who definitely likes to talk through things. And sometimes that can be over-evaluation of something and you just need to accept it and just get on with it. But I think having a lot of conversations with my peers and also people who weren't necessarily, they weren't following my career trajectory and that was okay. People who'd been in industry for 20 or 30 years and could say, yeah, I think that's a good idea. Or that's a horrible idea. Don't do that. And sometimes you need that. But I think a big part of my process for evaluating opportunities is talking to other people. And I think that's pretty natural for more validation. but often I was going to them saying, this is my perception of the situation. Here are the facts I have. What do you think? And some of that is even about how the contract's being offered to you, how somebody in HR is speaking to you or a recruiter, and just saying, is that normal? Because you don't know. And I was really pleased in my particular experience where I was going back to even my dad and saying, hey, I've been asked X, Y, Z, and they're offering to do this and this. And he went, that's really good that they're doing that. Cool. I've had experiences where this happens and that's nothing like it. So I think that's a really positive sign. And that gave me a lot of confidence. Okay, this is definitely worth it. But also it's just looking back and going, is this going to be a new area of practice? Is this something I'm already good at and I just want to be better at? Is this completely different and I have no idea where this is going to take me? And I think that was a big part of how I've evaluated the last couple of jobs. And a big part of this one in particular is that it was going to leverage skill sets that I did already have. So I knew I would have a level of confidence going into the role, which was important for me because I was moving to a new place. But there were enough new things that I felt that I could be satiated for longer than 12 months, well and truly, with the opportunities within the company.
Yeah. That's really helpful, I think, to talk through. And I'm definitely a talker throughera. That's not even a word. But I definitely talk things through. Extroverted communicator is what I've heard it's called. And I think there's a number of really great things you touched on there. One is that when you are starting out in your career, you don't really, it's hard to connect the dots looking forwards, and people who have more experience can look back on their careers and share some of their experiences so we can learn from those. So it's really helpful to talk it through. And the other reason I've personally find it helpful is that you notice what your opinions are too, because you'll say to someone, what do you think of this? And then they might say A, B, and C, and you'll go, oh, I disagree. And you don't even realize you disagreed. But it's because you're in a conversation, you go, oh, that's right. Actually, and so it can even help whether you agree or you don't agree with whatever the person's saying. It helps you solidify your thoughts more, which is then helpful to make a decision. And you're nodding. Have you found that too as well?
Oh, yes. That's exactly what I think. Exactly what you've nailed it on the head there. It solidifies your thinking. Or it helps you recognize you have a vast contrast. You're like, oh, God, I'm looking at this for the wrong reason. Absolutely. It is. I definitely think, like I was saying about validation, I think it's that solidification or helping you see things from a different viewpoint. I think it's pretty easy to have your lived experience impose on future decision making. That's what humans do. That's how it works. But it is helpful for someone to go, well, have you thought that maybe that didn't actually mean this? And maybe you're seeing that through a specific lens, and maybe that's not the reality. And I think that's also really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. What is reality? It's a question my PhD supervisor asked me and went, how do you know you're going to get the right information from interviews? And it blew my mind. I thought, wow, this is, he's like, you know, reality perception. That's a whole other podcast for another day.
Yeah, I was like, that's another episode.
Thinking about the role you have now, what do you wish you knew before you got into the position that you're in now?
Oh, I wish I knew that the imposter syndrome would be very real. I felt like such a weapon when I was in the negotiations for this job. I was, you know, there's this confidence boost because they had hunted me and they wanted me, you know, and I was like, yeah. Makes you feel great. It's a nice boost. And I went in strong. I did my research. I went in strong to my salary negotiations and my entitlements. And it was the first time I had backed myself like that. Mm. And it worked. And I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting that either. Like, and it was amazing. I was incredibly proud. But immediately afterwards, I was like, I don't deserve this. And I've spent probably even the last 12 months in this role questioning myself at times, going, oh, I don't. And you have to, often it takes somebody else being like, well, actually. But yeah, a lot of the times I have to remind myself, hey, I offer this unique skill set because I put the effort in to diversify myself. Mm-hmm. I deserve this. Back yourself. And I think that was, I was expecting an element of that, but I was not expecting it to hit me the way it did. And yeah, just getting comfortable with it, getting comfortable being uncomfortable. That's everyone's favorite adage. But I think the other thing as well was I didn't realize how big the gap would be, or the hole that I would feel of where my friends and colleagues had fit into my professional life previously. Moving to a new state meant that there was this huge hole in my life, basically. And I think that's something you have to accept. That's something you choose to do, and you choose to put yourself in that situation, but it doesn't make it easy. And I think knowing that you might feel FOMO and those sorts of things, but I still had to come back to, I knew it was the right decision for me to leave because it wasn't serving me anymore. Mm-hmm. And that people stay in places for different reasons, and they're not my reasons, and that's okay. I think they were my two big takeaways that I really wish I knew. I don't think that would have changed anything. You know, I still would have done. But
yeah, it would have been nice. Yeah. That's so interesting, because it sounds like you've gone, this is like, you know, best practice of, I'm going to negotiate the role, do all the right things, do, you know, follow, and good on you for backing yourself. And that's so interesting. That's what came up immediately after. And, mm-hmm. and that's fascinating when we step into new spaces or take on bigger roles or put ourselves in leadership positions. You go, yes, I really want this, but then you've never done it before. And then there can be new feelings that can come up. So thank you for being open and sharing that. I think that's really powerful. And certainly imposter syndrome is something that I feel all the time, if not every day. You know, it's so real. Final question for you. What is one piece of advice you would give people considering putting themselves forward for a promotion, stepping into a new role, even, you know, moving cities, locations for a new opportunity? Have you got kind of one piece of advice that you think would help someone?
There is no wrong move.
Mm.
I think that's the most important thing. I think you can never truly evaluate the potential of an opportunity against what you have. That's just not how it works. And I think getting comfortable with the idea of moving sideways, not always mm-hmm. up, not always back, is something we should adjust to. I think particularly in early career, because it is extremely challenging to sit on a straight line trajectory through the corporate ladder or whatever company you're in. And that's okay. If that's something you want to do, I think that's great. But I personally don't feel fulfilled following a linear a trajectory. That's just never been my style. But I think getting comfortable with knowing, well, I can do this thing, and if it doesn't work, I will make another decision and I will try something else.
Mm.
There is no wrong move. I think that's extremely important perspective to keep. Good.
I've written that down. That's really good. And it's a great mindset or attitude to bring, because when you are making a change, you can doubt yourself, think, oh, is this the right call? Should I have done something different? Or even in making decisions as a leader, there's, you know, you can be questioning, did I make the right choice? Did I make the right decision? And I think that's such a great framing. There is no wrong move, because you can make whatever move, whatever choice you've made, great. You can go, okay, mm-hmm. this, you know, maybe didn't go the way that I expected it to go. Okay, cool. How can I make it great? How can I make it the right move? And that you're in that mindset to keep progressing and keep moving things forward and making things a learning opportunity or a great outcome.
And I think to add to that, I am, for starters, I'm actively working on that all the time. It's not a perfect strategy, obviously, but I use that strategy at work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about evaluating a decision based on the information I have in front of me, knowing mm-hmm. full well that information will change. That's how data works. That's how life works. The next day, the next week, the next year. And I can't sit there going, well, I wish I knew that, because I didn't. Like, and I think if I was to punish myself for not knowing based on a set of information I did not have, you'd never make choices.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really important to remember that. And not even just evaluating new opportunities for ourselves, but even current opportunities that we have. Sometimes choosing to stay is the right move for you. And that's okay too. I think it's, I think you've got to allow yourself space and compassion to make a decision about what is right for you in that moment, and maybe that opportunity isn't it, and that's okay.
And you're the only one who's going to know that. You know, it's really you can get all the advice in the world, and really ultimately it's up to you. And it's tricky with me, I don't have to justify my decisions to people. It's ultimately what I want to do with my life, which can be tricky because I often want to people please, and even mentors, you know, be like a good, you know, good Catholic girl. Like, I went to good Catholic girl school, follow the rules and do all the right things. But you have to really think about what is going to be right for you. It's an awesome piece of advice, Kate. Thank you so much. You continue to inspire me. I'm walking away with fresh ideas.
That.
And I'm going to bring that to my day. There is no wrong move. Thank you so much for being here. Can't wait to see what's next for you in your journey.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I look forward to speaking to you again, and hopefully something new and exciting will have happened, and I'll have to lean back on my own advice. And then the next opportunity.
I love
it. Why did I say that?
Always, you can really listen to this podcast as a memento to inspire yourself, Kate, because I'm sure it will. Thanks so much.
Great speaking with you.